For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. I've talked with Dr. Scotty Day, physician in chief at Kentucky Children's Hospital, before about telemedicine and keeping our children's health appointments. Today, I'm going to talk with him about how schools can keep students safe and healthy. And obviously, this is going to have to be a partnership between parents, adult caregivers, and our schools.
The American Academy of Pediatrics, we released guidelines related to returning to school and returning to kind of the physical, mental health, and instructional time. And if we think about it, we've heard a lot about how schools are going to be ready to phase in their reopenings. And, you know, there's been a variety of things based on states. If you think about it, you know, for 46 states and Washington, D.C. have already had announced school closures through the end of the 2019-2020 academic year. And then really, until there's a broad availability of a vaccine, then we know we're going to get future waves of diseases. And so how do we deal with this, and how do schools deal with it? And, you know, and it's clear that distance learning is working for some, but for some kids, it's not going to work at all. And so the amount of burden, although it's still in the healthcare area for frontline, suddenly all that is even going to switch more as we look at whether or not, you know, schools return. Because if you think about it, schools have to be ready to clean, they have to sanitize, they have to screen, they have to monitor. It's not just the students, it's the staff. I mean, I was thinking about even as my own self in kindergarten, you know, being in these circles and reading, and, you know, how often children will come up and hug their teachers. I mean, that's going to be a great change in social interactions for those kids, even from the youngest ages.
I was thinking about that from the perspective of, you know, maybe middle schoolers, high schoolers can understand the motivation behind physical distancing and that sort of thing. But how do we approach this with a preschooler, a kindergartner, a first grader who wants to run up to her teacher and give her that big old hug, or play with their friends? Are there any strategies or tactics to explain this to children to try to get them on board?
You know, some of the tactics are going to have to engage the parents more than ever. And I think it's really going to be a real challenge. And I was thinking about those kids who, that in many ways, the teachers are their sole social interaction. Because, you know, I think the other part is, you know, the amount of stresses at home, from financial to job related, it's unbelievable. Because, you know, children should be kept, you know, 6 feet apart when they're napping. You know, there's a lot of these rules, and I think for toddler and young children, it's going to be really hard. Plus, we have learned over time, and you know this even in medical education, that the best way to learn is in group learning. And I think group learning can occur through Zoom, but I also think that, clearly that we're going to have to rethink the way that teachers teach our children, because those group and reading circles are not going to be, you know, they're just not going to be possible anytime soon.
My youngest daughter is a public high school English teacher here in Lexington, and this was her first full year of teaching. And, you know, what a strange year it's been. And she works with high school students, and I know it's been difficult enough for her. Is the American Academy of Pediatrics or other agencies, resources, organizations putting out any information to engage parents and adult caregivers in how we can approach this dilemma?
Yeah, the AAP released some guidance on school reopening, and a lot of it addresses physical, mental health, and instructional time. And I think, as they reopen, there's CDC guidelines, and you have to follow your local guidelines for cleaning and disinfecting. But, you know, there are, based on where you're at, I think a lot of those guidelines are variable, and it becomes, you know, I can't tell you how frustrating parents are, even parents who are professionals in the healthcare area, of knowing, what do I do? Is it okay for my child to go play at the neighbor's house now or not? And I think we know, you know, the incidents in our experience here at UK specifically related to this is our percentage of kids that are infected is really low. you know, 0.6%. And to me, it's probably, although there is a post-COVID, you know, related inflammatory syndrome, even that's fairly low. So it's really putting all those staff members at work, or, you know, at risk, because children are carriers for that. And the AAP's got a lot looking into how people are going to have to plan for. And, you know, I was, you know, these plans are not just for, how do you, what do you do about kids who come to school? Let's, every year schools shut down because of flu and absenteeism, right? Kids, too many kids with fevers can't come to school. So a lot of it's going to be, how do we isolate those sick children when they come? Or what do we do with those kids that already have high-risk medical conditions? I mean, in many ways, I think some of those children are going to have to do distance learning, because I don't know how we would put a child with a complex medical condition in a high-exposed area.
I guess, you know, we hear sort of ad infinitum this term now. You know, we're living in challenging times and uncertain times to the point where it's almost becoming a cliche, and yet, like a lot of cliches, it's very real. And what I'm hearing from you and from other professionals is there's really no one size fits all, that many times adult caregivers of children are just going to have to consult their pediatrician, their local health department, their local schools, because there's really no overarching policy that's going to work for everybody.
No, I completely agree. And I think it's going to be very much dependent on the families. I also think that, you know, if you think about it, a lot of times schools are the primary child care providers for people who are working. And so that's going to be a real challenge to understand how, you know, if your child has a fever, which is inevitable, your child can't go to school probably. So that means you may not be able to go to work. And so there's so many considerations that become so challenging through these times.
Well, I guess every adult caregiver of a child has a new and profound appreciation for the educators in their children's lives.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the stress that, you know, you talked about your daughter being a teacher, I just cannot imagine the amount of stress, because, you know, just like everything else, but I mean, what a profession that they go into, it truly as a service, and this is going to require them to do something totally different. I mean, their lessons plans could be, you know, completely not that it's not always individualized, but this could be a unique individualization of a learning plan that one can never imagine. And then the dependence upon parents, we say parents have to be involved. I mean, this is going to be the most critical time ever for parents to be involved in the education.
Scotty, is there any aspect of what we've been talking about that we haven't touched on that you would want our listeners to hear before we part?
You know, I think it's going to be important for schools to continue to prioritize and families the compliance with vaccinations. You know, use those on-site school services to complement wherever their pediatrician is, and really help students stay healthy. And I'll also say that it's so important for, as we look into participation in sports and stuff, to keep those pre-participation physicals, keep those, you know, physical exams that are scheduled prior to going in, because it's so important. And to also understand, for parents to understand what our teachers and instructors are going through, because their mental health is important. And I will tell you, you know, you and I have talked about in the past months, what has happened is we have transformed medical care. And from a very negative thing, if you and I could push a button, turn everything around, we would. This would never happen. But I can tell you that it has changed the way we provide care to children of the state, because we're doing so much of it through telemedicine. I think that although the stress is going to be gigantic, I think what we do in the next couple of months will define generations to come, and it will also, there will be positive things that will come out of it. We will change instruction, and many of it will be positive, and it will continue for a long period of time.
My thanks today to Dr. Scotty Day, Physician-in-Chief at Kentucky Children's Hospital at UK Healthcare, for talking with us about how parents and adult caregivers and schools can work together to keep students safe and healthy as we enter into the next school year. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time to cover important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.